नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। चित्रम अपलश्रिन्नुथेदम् हराहास उरसिस्थिरविद्युत् नन्दासूनुरायम् अर्थजनानम् नर्मादोयर्हि कुचित वेणु
O girls, the son of Nanda, who gives joy to the distressed, bears steady lightning on his chest and has a smile like a jeweled necklace. Now, please hear something wonderful. When he vibrates his flute, Braj's bulls, deer, and cows, standing in groups at a great distance, are all captivated by the sound, and they stop chewing the food in their mouths and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep or like figures in a painting. Purport. The word Sthiravidyut, steady lightning, refers to the goddess of fortune, who resides in the chest of the Supreme Lord. When the animals of Vrindavan hear the sound of the flute, they become stunned in ecstasy, and thus they stop chewing their food and cannot swallow it. The gopis, in separation from Krishna, marvel at the extraordinary effect of the Lord's flute playing. Srila Sridhar Swami gives the following explanation of the compound word harahasa, which compares Lord Krishna's smile to a necklace. The word can mean he whose smile is brilliantly clear like a jeweled necklace, or he whose smile is reflected from his jeweled necklaces. Because while Krishna plays the flute, he bends his head down and smiles. The word can also mean he whose smile, like a jeweled necklace, casts its effulgence upon his chest, or he whose necklaces shine brilliantly, just like a smile.
On behalf of all of our devotees, we would like to welcome two very special guests, Sharon and Jules, my dear friends, and two of the most influential yoga teachers in the world, and who also have very special love for Krishna and for all living beings. Let us welcome them by loudly chanting Hari Bol. Ten million times louder. We agree with everything you say. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, text chapter 35, entitled The Gopis Sing of Krishna, text 4 and 5. In the previous chapter, Shukadev Goswami tells the story of on the night of Holi, the full moon night of the Palgun season, Krishna, Balaram, and their gopis were in a forest. And that, in fact, near Govardhan, Giriraj, the king of mountains, just close to Kusum Sarovar is a place called Ratna Singhasan. And it is at that place that this particular leela or pastime took place. Krishna and Balaram, for the pleasure of the gopis, were singing. In bhakti, ras means the ecstasy of love in reciprocation with the beloved. The gopis, they lived only for the pleasure of Krishna. They were completely united in the core of their hearts for this purpose. In the path of bhakti, the perfection of being one with God is for one's heart, one's body, mind, words, and life to be one with the will of Krishna forever. Nitya, nitya lila, nitya seva, nitya dham. The eternal pastime is where there is eternal loving service in the eternal abode of the Lord. Krishna had already during the Raslila of Sarat Purnima told gopis that even in a lifetime of Brahma, which is about 311 trillion years, I cannot repay you with all that I have for the love that you have shown me. Because that night when Krishna played upon his flute, Bamsi, the gopis risked everything. They left everything. They were willing to endure homelessness, the dangers of the forest, and even being ostracized and blamed by the whole of society. But these were not even considerations for gopis, because the nature of their love was simply for Krishna's pleasure. They had no ahankar, no ego. Janasya mohoya mahamameti. They could not think in terms of I and mind. That was the nature of their love. They all gathered to meet Krishna. And Krishna told the gopis, after he tested them in a very beautiful way and revealed the supreme love of Sri Radha, that I cannot repay you. For all that you have given for me, although I'm the husband of the goddess of fortune, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, I am the proprietor of all spiritual and material worlds, I find myself with a debt that cannot be repaid. So please be happy with that love that you have in and of itself. When the gopis would dance, when they would put nice ornaments upon themselves, it was not to look in the mirror and enjoy themselves. It wasn't for anyone of this world to be attracted to them. It was just a way of expressing their love for Krishna, because their bodies belong to Krishna. Their words belong to Krishna. All of their abilities belong to Krishna. And how they would sing and how they would dance for Krishna's pleasure. And on this particular evening, just in a little kunj or forest near Govardhan, Krishna and Balaram were reciprocating. They were singing for the pleasure of the gopis. Shukadev Goswami and our beloved acharyas explain how Krishna was singing with Balaram. In the Gita, Krishna tells that I'm the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the ability within everyone. Krishna and Balaram, when they sang, the sound vibration was coming from the very core of their hearts. They were singing all the notes of the musical scale, sa re ga ma pa da ni sa, simultaneously with their mouths. Could anyone do that? Sing all the notes, and all the notes in between the notes, and all the notes between those notes? And they were all vibrating from Krishna's mouth simultaneously. Now it would seem, if you played all the notes at the same time, it would be a very strange sound. But it was absolutely enchanting, beautiful. And they were so enthusiastic because they were reciprocating, they were expressing their love for the gopis. Completely pure, beyond all material conceptions. For the pleasure of gopis, they were singing so enthusiastically. It was filling the entire forest and enchanting everyone and everything. And the gopis, feeling Krishna's love in the form of his singing, they were totally mesmerized. They were conquered by Krishna's love. Krishna was conquered by their love. That is Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, different than this world, the highest perfection is not to conquer, it is to be conquered by love. During this holy, during the daytime sometimes, Radharani would have her gopis, Krishna would have his gopas, and they would have a war of love. They would throw flowers at each other, throw flower petals on each other, even throw very natural, organic, beautiful, multicolored powders on each other from the herbs of the ground of Vrindavan. And for variegatedness, they would sometimes take that water and mix it with water from those powders, and mix it with water from the kuns, the ponds of Brajbhumi, or the water of Yamuna. And with syringes, they would squirt it upon each other. They would have so many wonderful sweets and other types of prasad, and they would give it to each other. This was their weapons. It was all manifestations of their love. And they were trying to conquer each other with their love. And according to most of the Brijbasis, Sri Radha would always win. She would conquer Krishna with her love. So while they were in the forest that night, singing and dancing near Sri Giriraj Govardhan, Shankarachuda, a demigod, a very powerful personality. He was a close friend of Kuvera. He was probably the wealthiest person you could imagine. And therefore, he had tremendous wealth. He was powerful physically, beautiful physically, incredibly intellectual, and he had the most beautiful jewel that was shaped like a conch shell that he would wear on top of his head like a crown, because he wanted everyone to see how wealthy and how great he was. He was so proud. Janmaishwarya Shruta Sribir Edamana Madapuman. Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, prayed that Krishna, what is considered the greatest qualifications in material life, has the potential to be the greatest disqualifications for spiritual life. Enormous wealth, very high education, physical beauty, and a very high social birth, position, and fame. People work and strive and struggle their whole lives for these things. Because if you have it, you become attractive. But a devotee doesn't need these things, because Krishna is all attractive. That is what the name Krishna means. So when we take our pleasure in Krishna's unlimited, inconceivable attraction, then our hearts are so totally filled up forever. But when we forget that all-attractive relationship with the all-attractive one, and we try to compensate and fill that void in our heart by becoming attractive. When the flower of love awakens within our heart, that love attracts the all-attractive. And what could be more attractive than that? Otherwise, when we have these things on the material platform, on the spiritual platform, we could have wealth and we could have knowledge and fame and beauty. But our spirit is seva, that we use these gifts to serve Krishna, to serve Krishna's children of all varieties. But without that concept, the ahankar, the ego, takes control. And we become proud that I have more than you. And Kunti says, when we become proud like this, the ego makes the heart hard. We cannot with humility cry out the names of God. That is why Lord Chaitanya prayed, Trinarabhi sunichena taror iba sahishnana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sada hari. That if we want to actually taste the sweetness of Krishna, Sri Radha, who have appeared within their names, and they have many names that they have revealed over the ages in many ways, if we want to actually taste the sweetness of the holy name in such a way that we will never stop chanting, then we must have humility like a blade of grass, benevolence, forgiveness, and tolerance like a tree. Not expecting respect, but finding joy in giving respect. Shankarachuddha, he had everything. He could have enlightened millions of people with all he had if he was in the spirit of seva. But he was in the spirit of I and mine. So when he heard Krishna singing and he heard the gopis singing with him, he wanted to enjoy the gopis. He picked up a stick and began to shout at the gopis that anything beautiful in this world is mine. You come with me. He was leading them into the forest. And the gopis were crying, Krishna, help us. We don't want to go with him. Right in front of Krishna and Balaram, he was doing this, kidnapping gopis. He couldn't touch them, although he wanted to. And Krishna entrusted the gopis with Balaram and ran after him. And ultimately, Krishna liberated that fortunate soul. He made his misfortune the ultimate fortune. And took the jewel and gave it to Balaram. And ultimately, Balaram gave it to Sri Radha. So this story depicts the tendency that is within most of us, that tendency to become proud, that tendency to be the enjoyer of what is the property of God. Sarva Loka Maheshwara. Everything is the property of God. A devotee, bhakti means to see everything as an opportunity to serve. Everything is an opportunity to express our love. Everything is an opportunity to experience Krishna's infinite love. So that was at nighttime. Today's verse is taking place in the daytime. Shukadeva Goswami tells us that gopis would be with Krishna at night, but in the day they would be in great separation, because Krishna would be with his cowherd boyfriends. They would be in the pastures with their cows and calves and bulls and goats and buffaloes, and they would be playing together. And at that time, it is described the nature of the gopis is sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename, that in separation from Krishna, in nimesh. Now, you're all sitting here. How many are aware that you are blinking your eyes? Even I'm not aware that you're blinking your eyes, but now I'm aware because I'm thinking about it. You are all blinking your eyes, whether you know it or not. But when we blink our eyes, it doesn't, when we do it unconsciously, it really doesn't obstruct our vision. At least we don't notice it because it's so fast, not even a 13th of a second. But for the gopis, that amount of time was like a yuga, was like millions of years when they were looking at Krishna. In fact, the gopis had the courage to criticize the creator Brahma. Can you imagine having this courage? They said, Brahma, you are not a good creator. You don't know how to create properly. Because when we are standing before Krishna, we blink. And that obstructs our eyes from drinking the nectar of Krishna's beauty. Why did you make these eyelids? That was when they were standing with Krishna. So here we find, throughout the day, just after sunrise, Krishna would go out into the pasture grounds, and he would return after the sunset, and gopis were completely immersed in thinking about him. Govinda Damodara Madhaveti Jivve Bibaswamita Matadeva Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. This beautiful song tells about the gopis during the day. Whatever they were doing, they were singing the names of Krishna, singing the pastimes and qualities of Krishna, and sharing Krishna with each other. Sankirtan, in its original, highest, purest form, they're helping each other, nourishing each other with this prem by sharing Krishna's glories with each other, chanting, singing, speaking. It was not only keeping them alive, but it was keeping them completely connected, because of viraha, this separation, helps the gopis to become so deeply absorbed within the core of their hearts in remembrance of Krishna. And because Krishna is absolute, param satyam dhimahi, they were meditating on the supreme absolute truth of Krishna, who is within the heart of every living being. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayesh junatishti. And when we remember Krishna with affection, Krishna within the heart manifests himself to receive that love and reciprocate with that love. The gopis are seeing him in separation from him, and that separation only deepens the union within. Sambhog, when Krishna stands before us, the love of our heart flows endlessly out toward him. But when, for a bhakta who has attained this state of prema, when Krishna is not before us, that separation is so deep that our love goes deeper and deeper internally, searching for that Krishna within our hearts. And there Krishna reciprocates. In this verse, the gopis are discussing among themselves the effect that Krishna's flute has on them and on so many others. Previously, when Krishna played the fifth note of his flute, they forgot everything and just ran into that beautiful sound to find Krishna. The gopis explain, when Krishna plays the sweet song of his flute, and what is the song of Krishna's flute? It is Krishna's infinite love for each and every one of us personally, individually, that is coming from the very core of his heart, through his mouth, carried by his breath, through the holes of his loving flute, and made into music. The sweetest, ultimate of all music. Because it's Krishna's most intimate love in the form of music.
And when it enters into the ears of the gopis, they hear Krishna personally calling them. And therefore, they could understand how it's affecting others. This experience is such an important reality. In order to actually understand others, having experience takes us beyond the theoretical platform. Paradukaduki. It is said a devotee, their primary nature is another person's suffering is my suffering. Another person's happiness is my happiness. But unless we understand suffering, how do we know what others go through? Just like the pain of giving birth to a child. I have some theoretical understanding. I've read about it, I've heard about it. But I can't really when a mother is giving birth to a child, that labor experience, I can't really fathom what it is. But another mother who has gone through it understands it perfectly. A person who has undergone alcoholism knows the suffering of a person who's an alcoholic. A person who has been abused really feels what it's like when another person is abused. And similarly, a person who has tasted the sweetness of spiritual enlightenment, love for Krishna, understands to some extent what another lover of Krishna is feeling. So because the gopis, and that's why, let's go back, suffering could be transformed into a blessing. Nobody likes to suffer, but it happens anyway, whoever we are. Have any of you ever had that experience? There's adiatmaka, adidaivaka, adibhotaka, suffering caused by one's own body and mind, suffering caused by other living beings, suffering caused by natural disturbances. So when those things come to us, we can complain, we can criticize, we can become depressed, which is justifiable. But we have another choice. We could transform that suffering in several ways. It can help us to truly, deeply humble ourselves. And with great feeling and a sense of urgency, cry out the holy names. With feeling. Also, that suffering is a blessing because it helps us to actually feel for other people's suffering. We can transform it into that experience. Krishna's equipping me to be able to really understand so I can have deeper compassion and I could more effectively serve them. Because we know where they're coming from. And for a devotee, happiness is not in our own comforts. Happiness is in how we can serve. So if suffering helps us to serve others with deeper compassion, that suffering becomes a source of happiness for us. It's not that we're looking for suffering, but it will come. Nobody looks for suffering, but it comes. Transforming curse into blessing, that is wisdom. And that's a simple thing. When our purpose in life is to serve rather than to enjoy. Because to the extent we don't have this enjoying spirit in a selfish way, to the extent we really find our happiness in seva, in service, in loving, that's real enjoyment. That's enjoyment that fills and touches the very core of our hearts and awakens the love of our soul. So the gopis, they taste the sweetness of Krishna's flute. So when they look around, they see and they really feel and appreciate how it's affecting others. And they're explaining in this chapter that the moving living beings become oftentimes unmoving. The little calves are drinking from their mothers. And we have all seen how enthusiastically calves drink their mother's milk. If you come to our Govardhan Eco Village, you will see. They're very enthusiastic. And as they're drinking their mother's milk from the mother's udder, they hear Krishna's flute. And their ears go up. Those big, long ears, they go up in order to somehow or other catch more of that sound. And it goes through their ears and into the hearts of those little calves. And the calves, they're so satisfied with the nectar that's coming into their ears that they completely forget about the nectar going into their mouth. They can't suck. They just have their mouths on their mother's udder and they become like little statues of calves. They're stunned in ecstasy. The only thing moving is tears flowing from their beautiful, glossy, lotus-like eyes. And the mother, she's the same way. Her ears are going up. And she becomes motionless, hearing the sweet sound of the flute. And seeing her calf in such an ecstasy receiving Krishna's love, the cow is totally happy. The only movement is the tears of love flowing from her eyes. And the bulls, same thing. When they hear Krishna play his flute, they want to reciprocate. And Krishna plays a note and then they says, and gopis are talking about Krishna's garland around his neck. One is made of pure tulsi, tulsi leaves. Now, ordinarily, tulsi leaves are not so fragrant, but it describes in the early morning, for those who actually have love, for those whose hearts are awakened, we could smell the sweetest nectar of fragrance from tulsi. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena.
Bhakti is not about seeing with our eyes or hearing with our ears or tasting with our tongue or smelling with our nose. All our senses are predominated not by our flickering, ever-changing mind. When the mind is totally still in bhakti, then it is our heart, it is our very soul, the Atma, that is experiencing through the senses. So when our love awakens, when we smell tulsi, there can be no sweeter fragrance because tulsi is so dear to Krishna. And the bees, because in Vrindavan, everyone is a lover of Krishna. Everyone is a supremely liberated soul. The bees smell the nectar of that garland, and they're buzzing. Everyone. More enthusiastically. You're being attracted by Krishna's, the love of his heart manifesting through his tulsi garland. We can be a bee. And they're all flying toward this tulsi garland. And Krishna's playing his flute. And as Krishna's playing various notes on the flute, a beautiful song, it's like a kirtan. He would play, and then he would pause, and all the bees would respond. From their hearts. You may wonder what kind of heart does a bee have. But in Vrindavan, the bees have pure loving hearts. They're wondering what kind of heart do we have. People in this material world are a heart that's not filled with Krishna's love and love for Krishna. What is the use of whatever species we're in that sense? The bees are buzzing so sweetly in perfect melody with Krishna's flute, and they're reciprocating with each other. And their wings are also keeping nice melodies. Everything. Every motion is an offering to Krishna. And the trees. Because there's an Atma in a tree. Mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna tells that every living being is part of me. Aham bija pratapita. Every living being is my child. Every living being is my lover and my beloved. So wherever there's life in all species, life is sacred. The Atma can take so many different forms within this material existence, but every Atma is inherently a pure lover of Krishna. And the trees in Vrindavan are perfect self-realized enlightened yogis. And Krishna reciprocates with every tree. In Vrindavan, Krishna is Rasa Bihari. That means he is the enjoyer of loving relationships. And Rasaraj, he's the ultimate supreme enjoyer of loving relationships. Because everyone is feeling Krishna's personal love
for them in such a special way. Nobody would ever want to change their position for anyone else because they're so satisfied. We were speaking about the bees. There's millions of bees. But when Krishna's playing his flute, every one of those bees is feeling, Krishna's playing just for me. And Krishna's looking only at me. And every calf, every cow, every goat, every buffalo, every insect, every tree, every bush is feeling the same way. Krishna sees a flower. And the flower, who's a pure liberated being in Vrindavan, a parabhakti, the flower makes herself or himself, depending on which flower it is, the flower makes herself so beautiful for Krishna. Because they're liberated souls, that flower body is a transcendental body, which is a manifestation of the love of the soul within that body. So the flower could make herself any beauty, any shape, any way she wants. So she makes herself so beautiful for Krishna. And when Krishna experiences the love of that flower, he makes himself more beautiful for the flower. And the flower, feeling that ecstasy of Krishna's love, makes herself more beautiful for Krishna. And Krishna makes himself more beautiful for the flower. And the flower makes herself more fragrant and more beautiful for Krishna. And I can keep going on like this for the rest of eternity. Because this is what goes on for all eternity. Now you may think, and I may think, you know, can you imagine that eternity just being a flower making yourself more beautiful for Krishna and more fragrant for Krishna and having no end to how much you can increase your beauty? Because Chintamani Dham is Vrindavan, where all our desires are fulfilled. If we have no material desires, all our spiritual desires are fulfilled. That means if we want to ever increasingly manifest sweeter and sweeter fragrance and sweeter beauty, then our desires fulfilled. In this way, the flower is so happy. Couldn't imagine any other life. Gopis, of course, they're the greatest, and the gopas, they're so wonderful, so great, and Yashoda is Krishna's mother, and feeding Krishna, and the cows are so intimate with Krishna. But I'm a flower. And just see how Krishna is with me only. The flower is humble before everyone else, but would not trade her position for anyone else. And that's the way the bees are. That's the way the trees are. And that's the way the fleas are. And that's the way every blade of grass is. And that's the way everyone is. Even the clouds. What a beautiful... Krishna plays his flute and they rumble with thunder to reciprocate with Krishna. And the clouds in Vrindavan, when they rumble for Krishna in that reciprocation, it is so beautiful. And when the sun is out, they're so happy that it's a sunny day. Because they could just follow Krishna and the cows and the cowherd boys and everybody and make nice clouds they offer their very life, their bodies as clouds to give shade to Krishna and all Krishna's associates. Madhbhakta pujabhyadika. Krishna says, if you want to show your love for me, what makes me most happy is when you show your love for those I love. And Krishna loves everyone. This is Seva.
the Yamuna, the Yamuna River, and all the rivers of Vrindavan, when they hear Krishna's flute, they manifest beautiful lotus flowers to offer in reciprocation. And sometimes in ecstasy, when they're flowing downstream and Krishna's upstream, Yamuna Devi immediately just starts flowing upstream. And it describes by Shukadeva Goswami that the waves of the river are her arms. And her waves are being offered, reaching out to embrace Krishna. And wherever Krishna may be, he's reciprocating with each wave. Each wave is feeling the embrace of Krishna and embracing Krishna. This is Vrindavan. And when Krishna plays his flute a little more, then the Yamuna becomes as still as a rock from Govardhan Hill. Becomes ecstatic. So much ecstatic, can't move. Samadhi. A river without the slightest motion is totally stunned in ecstasy by Krishna's flute. And meanwhile, the stones are dancing. The stones are melting. That is the power of love. So these beautiful descriptions are being given. This is how the gopis are talking with one another. Because you see, the nature of the gopis' compassion is the love that they're experiencing. They want everyone to experience that love. There's a beautiful Acha. I have to end class. Haribo. There's some special guests I have to meet. What was I saying? When you have something special, Thakur Bhaktivinod, he explained that the evidence of someone who actually loves Krishna, who loves God, is they want to share that love in a spirit of compassion toward all beings. So the gopis, instead of talking about how great they are and their love is, when they're together, they find the greatest happiness describing the qualities of everyone else who is feeling Krishna's love and loving Krishna. The cows and the goats and the buffaloes and the trees. When the trees, the kalpavrikshas of Vrindavan, hear Krishna's flute, then their ecstasy erupts in the form of incredible, beautiful, fragrant flowers, multi-flowers on every branch. And the whole trunk of the tree and the limbs of the tree are trembling because there's an Atma, there's a pure soul in that tree. And sometimes the ecstasy becomes so deep that a very sweet, fragrant sap flows from the tree spontaneously in the form of their tears of ecstasy. And each tree is feeling Krishna receiving their offerings. And at the end of the day, when Krishna climbs up near Nandagaon, the Tarakadamba tree, he calls his cows, his goats, his buffaloes. He says one name with such sweetness. And that one name, every cow, every animal in the whole forest
hears her or his name being called. We can't do that. If I say Gopinath Chandra, that's all you hear is Gopinath Chandra. But when Krishna says Gopinath Chandra, everybody's hearing their own names. Hare Krishna Das, Madhvacharya, Gaur Gopal. Everyone's hearing their own names. Ananda Vrindavan. And it's not that Krishna has to have a list and just start calling all the names. Just one name, and everyone hears their name. Now, whose name is Krishna actually calling? It's not an illusion. It's for real. Just as Krishna could sing all the sarigamapadinisa, he could sing all the different notes of all the different scales of every instrument with one sound. Krishna's actually calling intimately everyone. Infinitely. That's the power of Krishna's love. So all the cows and all the other animals, when they hear their names being called by Krishna, and they hear in the sound of his flute, he's personally calling them, they all come running to join him. So these are the things the gopis are discussing in this verse today. They're so happy. They are rejoicing. Why are they rejoicing? Because everyone else is tasting the sweetness of their love, of Krishna's love. And because they understand the sweetness of Krishna's love, when somebody else tastes that, that is their ultimate joy. Even more than when they taste it themselves, they're happy to see everyone and anyone else in all species tasting that sweetness of that love. This is the spirit that Lord Chaitanya taught of how we should come together and chant the holy name. Thank you very much.